Dalton taking a shot to the end zone. It is caught. Adam Thielen. Magnificent pass from Dalton. Can they protect Dalton? Puts some air under it to the end zone. It's caught. Picture perfect dive from Dalton to Deontay Johnson. And the Panthers retake the lead.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI. We already talked to Christian Gonzalez and Hunter Henry. If you missed any of that, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also go to YouTube and seek those out. Just subscribe to WEEI. We'll get to the grab bag coming up about 15 minutes from now.
Oh, earlier grab bag. New time.
An extended, lengthier grab bag.
I like that.
Is what we're going to get to coming up here. Later on this hour, we'll check in and see what WEEI Afternoons has coming up with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart as well. So stay tuned for all of it. What's the lesson from the Panthers and Andy Dalton? I heard a lot of this last week. The Panthers broke their young quarterback. They're a cautionary tale for the New England Patriots. Now that we see Andy Dalton go in and light it up for 1 week.
Yeah, 1 week.
I don't want to overreact for 1 week, but I'm about to.
Yep. that's what we do.
What's the lesson from that switch that Carolina made and, you know, clearly look revitalized with a different quarterback?
I'll tell you, I think a lot of people have this one wrong. I view it very differently than what most people are saying about it. I do not think this is a cautionary tale for Drake May and, oh, the Patriots are doing the right thing and don't play Drake May. I think some of these rookie quarterbacks, or actually all these rookie quarterbacks, they're either good or they're not. And it doesn't necessarily going to translate to wins and stats right away, but you can sort of tell who is going to be able to hack it and who can't. And so everybody's focusing on the Bryce Young part of it. I think Bryce Young stinks. I think if Bryce Young went anywhere, he would stink. Even if he went to a good place like San Francisco or played for McVay, I think those guys would learn we need to change this. Like Trey Lance went to Shanahan.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
No, he's not good.
Trey Lance, by the way, didn't just go to Shanahan. Lance went
and sat up. Both. He was both those things. But he sucks.
He's one of the guys who can't play him, can't throw him to the wolves. He's got to sit. He's got to wait. He did sit. He did wait.
Yeah.
He went to a perfect situation.
Right.
And the guy can't play.
So I think that's way more what it is. And I also think people are ignoring the Andy Dalton aspect of it. So Andy Dalton, veteran quarterback now. But what did Andy Dalton do when he came into the league? He was a second round pick. Took over a 4-win team, started immediately, and won 9 games and made the playoffs.
Yeah, for like 5 straight years he made
the playoffs. You made the playoffs every year right off the rip, but he was a second-round pick, took over for, it was like after Carson Palmer or whatever, and like the team sucked for a year. They literally were a 4-win team, very, very similar to what the Patriots are or what they were coming off of, and he started right away. And he became sort of like a joke because he kept losing playoff games, right? He's like 0-4 in the playoffs and whatever else.
And just to interject on Dalton, like, he was a joke here in New England because we're talking about
Tom
Super
Brady.
Bowls and championships and actual greatness.
We're not there right now.
Right. Adjust our expectations. Yeah. You know, 5 and 10 years ago, I was right there with you mocking the Bengals and Andy Dalton.
But that was not a perfect place for Andy Dalton to land, and yet he hit the ground running and got better, right? Like, he didn't, like, that wasn't the best you saw of him. He got better as the years went on, and he's been, you know, now he's bounced around to a couple of teams, but he went in there, and it just showed you, like, maybe Carolina's not that far away. Maybe it was the quarterback, shockingly, that was holding them back and not the other way around. And so you have a guy who right now is very much average or even below average right now, but he night and day difference compared to what you had in Bryce Young, and the team can kind of see that. They rally around him, and at least for 1 week, they had success. I don't think Bryce Young is going to bounce around to some other team and kick ass and be like, oh, my God, Carolina broke him, and thank God he was able to be fixed. Like, nope. He just, I don't think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and so I think the lesson in Carolina is not the Bryce Young end of it and ruining a young quarterback. The lesson is they made the quarterback switch from their inept quarterback and got more out of it for a week.
Yeah.
So could you do the same thing with Drake May?
Another one that keeps coming up, and I'm glad they tweeted or texted us, 37937, Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold had a great game, and he's off to a great start to a season. And everyone's saying the Jets broke him, the Jets broke him, the Jets never should have played him.
Well, and people are saying that about Darnold and Baker Mayfield in Carolina as well. It's an example specifically of Carolina breaking quarterbacks.
Ooh,
although those guys clearly aren't broken because they're both, well, Baker Mayfield yesterday aside.
Yesterday was. No, but he got a new contract. He's the starter with Tampa Bay. Sam Darnold right now is off to a good start. So I guess you could argue that one both ways because those guys clearly aren't broken. Are they in the league or out of the league? Are they starting or are they sitting? Like, they're... they found other places to go.
Yeah.
So I guess
Geno Smith would be another. Like, those are guys who people felt the Jets broke or these teams broke. Those guys weren't broken. They were in bad situations.
But then when were the Jets supposed to play him? So if they identified Darnold, and by the way, I didn't love Darnold coming out. That's neither here nor there. He threw a lot of picks at Southern Cal, but whatever. So he goes there, doesn't perform great, got thrown right into it, wasn't very good. Same with, like, Zach Wilson. Like, that feels like a Jets thing very much, right? Geno Smith, Zach Wilson, and he may never be good, and Sam Darnold. I don't think that's necessarily a pro sit Drake May thing, though. Do you? Do you read the Sam Darnold?
I mean, look, if you want to say that the situation for those guys was really bad and the Patriots have a bad situation, I get that. But I've also seen young quarterbacks completely change it by going into a bad situation. C.J. Stroud a year ago in Houston is one.
You should never should have drafted him then.
Well, right. There's that, too. And I'm pro-drafting the quarterback. I just think you saw with Carolina looked like the worst team in football. We had them on their own tier last year Tuesday. The Panthers tier. They were by themselves. The worst team imaginable. All they did was switch to a better quarterback, and they got huge results last week. Now, I'm not telling you Carolina's a playoff team. They're probably still in the mix for the worst teams in the league, but they at least look functional on offense.
But that division looks wide open right now.
It does.
All the other teams lost.
Well, is Tampa 2? Tampa's 2-1.
But Tampa lost.
But now Atlanta's 1-2.
Atlanta lost, and New Orleans lost, and they all didn't look good doing it. I mean, they all have better records, but New Orleans doing it. But I'm just saying.
Carolina division winner?
Well, hey, take out a little sprinkle.
Take out a future prop there.
I bet the numbers shifted.
While you're checking on your Bozo touchdown parlay, riding on Zach Moss tonight, go and check those odds. So look, all they did was switch their quarterback, and they look like a totally different team. Could the Patriots do the same thing? They're too afraid to do it. They won't do it.
I think we're also back
they're
to,
scared, but yeah. They should. That's the lesson in Carolina. It's not about Bryce Young. It's about switching off the inept, broken, terrible quarterback. Yeah. And going to a guy who can play, and maybe Drake May can play. It looked like he could at the end of the Jets
game. But I just think it's going to be funny today and this week where people are screaming about Bryce Young playing too early, and they're ignoring the guy who replaced him, who started right away and was really good.
Yeah.
Like that
guy's
going to be funny.
As a rookie.
So how did Andy Dalton get in the league? Don't worry about that. It's like he took over a 4-win team like the Patriots. He started right away. They made the playoffs that year, for God's sakes. No, but once again, we're in that spot where no matter what side you're on, you have 100 examples
for you,
and we just scream examples at each other.
I still
That's
like
fine.
It.
No, it's fun.
I like
fun.
The shouting examples game. I like it.
Because every once in a while you're like, oh, what about this guy? Yes, perfect. Add him to my list.
Right.
It's like, what about this guy? Oh, no, it doesn't work for me.
The only
Put
thing
him
that,
over there.
The only thing that's going to matter, Keith, is that we win the Drake May example. Drake May needs to be on our side and needs to be a quarterback that plays well.
That'll help.
Because if Drake May doesn't, we're gonna lose this argument for all time.
What I also love is that Mac Jones gets brought into both sides of the argument, which is so bizarre. Because you're like, well, look what happened to Mac Jones. I'm like, he played right away. They made the playoffs as a rookie.
The only time he played well was as a rookie. Right.
Like, yeah, but then he broke after that. It's like, so what? Start him, then sit him, then start him? It's very confusing.
I also just think he stinks.
Is true.
But it's great that he's like right. You can use him on either side of the argument. I do like that. Let's go to, is this Justina in North Carolina? Go ahead, Justina.
Hi. I was a Carolina. I still am a Carolina fan. And now I'm a Drake New England fan because of Drake from Carolina. I'm a North Carolina. It's way actually a Carolina graduate. But you got to think about Bryce. Bryce wasn't the only thing that changed by the coaching. The coaching also changed, I mean. The coaching staff has changed as Bryce.
Well, Justina, in the off season, but not between week 2 and 3. But yes, I understand your point.
Well,
there are more changes, yeah.
Right. So my thing is, there's some kind of agreement between AVP and Jacoby. It's like Jacoby gets so upset whenever they say he's not going to play. Like they say something about, how did you feel about Drake getting in? I mean, he was like, "That's the coach. That's the coach doing." You know, like it wasn't AVP. It was Mayo that did it.
Yeah,
and then he says.
Well, no, Justine, I was going to say, and I appreciate the phone call.
This is the North Carolina versus North Carolina State thing.
Is that what that is?
I can sniff that out a mile away.
Okay.
She hates the Wolfpack, hates Brissett.
So she's piling on Brissett because of that.
I think it could be that.
Yep. So there you go. Good theory. No, he does seem, he seemed annoyed when Mayo left the door open last week. And like, that bothers me a little bit because it's like, Jacoby, you think you've been so good? You think you've been so good in your career and this year? That it's you can't believe the coach is leaving the door open after the game. That bothered me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd hope, and her point on the line was that Alex Van Pelt is holding back Drake May. Maybe. I mean, I'd be worried about that. Coach is up in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Coach.
Yes, great show. And Jones, you mentioned something that really got my attention, and that is these quarterbacks that may have failed in other places but are succeeding in new places, a lot has to do with the coach they're now with, the system. For example, Darnold with Kevin O'Connell and Purdy going with Shanahan. And so I think the Patriots failed on two levels with Drake May so far. One, they didn't get any veteran offensive linemen, particularly tackles. That was criminal. And number two, I think Alex Van Pelt is like their 18th choice to be the OC when there's so many better OCs out there. Look at how well Stroud is performing under this Bobby Swiatek or whatever his name is in Houston.
Bobby Slowick. So look, the one that I was really trumpeting last week, and New Orleans didn't have a good game yesterday, but the one that they interviewed Clint Kubiak, and New Orleans came out and put up 40-plus back-to-back weeks. So I do think there were better, more imaginative coaching hires out there than Alex Van Pelt, 100%.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think a lot of times when you see a quarterback struggle early and then get good, that's a big difference. We've highlighted quite a bit the receivers that they get or whatever else it might be, and that's obviously a factor. But Tua Tagovailoa, early on, you weren't really sure, and you're like, I don't know. And then Mike McDaniel shows up, and all of a sudden, and some good receivers, and he looks a night and day difference. So it goes back to that thing. Like, do you not play Drake May until you have the right offensive coordinator, the right offensive line, and the right wide receiver? Then, like, holy smokes, then maybe you shouldn't have taken him.
Yeah, why do teams
at that point don't take him?
Why do teams draft quarterbacks? Why would you ever do such a thing?
But then you do take him, then you don't even play him. So it's like, hey, you need to make the team better, but we can't play it yet.
Right.
It's like, all right,
and
we all wait.
Even still, we just referenced Trey Lance. I mean, the Niners did do that for Trey Lance. It still didn't work.
Traded all the way up, but they realized they were wrong, and they moved on.
No, I mean,
yes.
I give him credit for moving on. I'm just saying, like, even still, that doesn't guarantee anything.
Yeah.
You could have everything around him and get that quarterback in Trey Lance, and if the guy can't play, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And so even doing it that way, there's no guarantee it's going to work out. That did work out with Mahomes. There's no guarantee that's going to work out. I can give you examples on the other. I'll shout my examples back
at you. Scream examples.
I'm happy to scream examples right back at you.
And by the way, the guy texting in that Andy Dalton had A.J. Green his rookie year, mm-hmm. which is why Dalton was successful. It's like, okay, A.J. Green was very good. It was also his rookie year. Mm-hmm. So it was rookie year A.J. Green. Do you know who the next five leading receivers were on the Cincinnati Bengals who Andy Dalton brought to the playoffs? Besides A.J. Green.
Oh, yikes.
Who'd he throw to?
Was Jerome Simpson on that team?
Correct. Good.
Wow.
Circle gets the square.
I only remember him because he front-flipped into the end zone.
Jerome Simpson had 105 targets that year.
Nice.
50 catches.
Nice.
That's not nice.
That's a good little year.
A.J. Green, Jerome Simpson, Jermaine Gresham, Andre Caldwell, and Andrew Hawkins.
Ooh.
He got them to the playoffs.
Andrew Hawkins working on ESPN.
The Hawk.
He was
at the
Bengals.
At Hawk, I believe, on Twitter.
At Hawk.
I mean, A.J. Green's great, but it was rookie year A.J. Green and nothing else, and Andy Dalton got him to the playoffs. But you're right. They were a wagon. That team was a turnkey. Like, come on.
I like that we're on Team Andy Dalton all of a sudden.
I never thought. I didn't think I was going to wake up today on Team Andy Dalton, but we kind of are.
It's wild out in those streets.
We are.
Out in the take streets. You never know where you're going to wake up one day. 617-779-7937. We got more of your feedback coming up. We also have an extended grab bag.
Ooh.
It's time for grab bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Do not adjust your radios or your smartphones. Grab Bag earlier. We're doing extended Grab Bag now. Here
nice.
At Jones and Keefe.
Yes. Yeah, so stretch those legs out a little bit.
Grab Bag. We have a lot of stuff to get to. So rather than jamming it in,
that
five,
sounds
six,
very
seven
empty
minutes,
and hollow.
No, it's not.
You don't want it to sound that way. It's actually very full. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
This sounds like a robot. How about this? Let's start our extended Grab Bag with Ohtani watch.
Nice.
60-60 watch. He has soared past 50-50. We're talking about home runs and steals, people. He is now six games to play, 53 home runs, 55 stolen bases.
So he's getting the quad nickel. Like, that's happening. 55-55?
55-55 is going to happen.
That's
he might
happening.
Be a 55-60 guy. He's
that's
swiping
still nice.
Bags left and right
there's
at
no,
this point.
There's no reason not to get to the 60 swipes.
I don't think he's getting the 60 bombs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Seven
maybe
and six
year.
Games?
Do you think he passes Barry Bonds next year?
Yeah.
Not going to get him this year.
I'm going to say yes.
He could.
Yes, I think he could.
53 and 55, though.
What a fantasy year.
That is a good year in fantasy. Didn't pitch, though, Jones.
Yeah.
Didn't pitch a lick.
I haven't done fantasy baseball in many years. I still don't even get how it would work if you had him in a year where he does pitch. But
you put him in both. You get him
50-50.
Yeah, you get him on the roster, I think, in both spots, and then you kind of go from there. I never owned Shohei Ohtani.
No,
he's never blessed enough.
I never made it that far. Yeah,
let's reach back into the grab bag.
I agree. Boston College football gets a big win at home over Michigan State and then stormed the field. It was a rainy field. So credit to all the fans who were there sticking that one out because it was a gross night for football. But they got a nice win over a Big Ten team, stormed the field. What do you think?
Well, so normally I would say you didn't even beat a top 25 team. What are you doing? They were undefeated.
Okay.
It was the red bandana game. So
true.
You feel like maybe
like
there's a little more going on emotionally in the stands and with the game.
Big game.
It's a big game because of that.
Yeah.
It still feels like a bit much to rush the field.
See, I would never tell a college kid whether to rush the field or not rush the field, the court, et cetera. I remember there were some issues with court storming years ago.
Like Jay Billis hates it.
Yeah, well, you're bumping into Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
You're taking charges on people. You can't be doing that. But you were a home favorite. Like, you obviously home because you're storming the court, but you were a favorite. Like, they were supposed to win the game by
they
like
were favored by 5 or 6. Yeah, exactly. So that seems odd.
Yeah, it does. But
I'm with you. I don't have a problem with court storming or field storming in general.
That
seems like kind of an odd
normally,
spot to do it.
Yeah, normally.
The only reason I'm not all real upset about it is Red Bandana.
Good
that's
point.
The one out they have. Yeah.
Good point. That definitely saves it a little bit because normally it's reserved for like a big upset, obviously top 25, maybe a big rivalry game. Who's BC's football rival? Do they have one?
Notre Dame.
UMass?
I don't think Notre Dame is theirs, but I think...
Yeah, Notre Dame would be like, who?
Yeah. Like, BC?
Who is?
I think it's probably Notre Dame.
UConn? Is it Miami. Northeastern or BU?
Used to be Q's.
Could be Q's.
Used to be Q's. I don't really think it's Q's anymore.
No.
Not really.
Who else you got?
I think it's Notre Dame, I'm telling you.
I don't like it.
It's not great.
No, I don't like it. But okay, storm the field against the Irish.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah,
running around, pushing the Irish people around a little bit.
I'll boot up college football when I get home and see what the rivalry games are.
Yeah,
I don't think they played for like the jeweled shillelagh. That's what Notre Dame and Southern Cal or Paul Bunyan's axe or some of those other.
Something cool like
the
that.
The Egg Bowl. Those are all. BC doesn't have any of those.
What's Egg Bowl? Mississippi State?
That's right. Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, Miss State.
Dak Prescott won a lot of those, I bet.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, tough though. Rivalry game? Throw the records out.
A.J. Brown.
Peyton Manning couldn't beat Florida.
That's, you know what? Good point.
Good college quarterback never could beat Florida.
What's his name? T.
Higgins?
T. No. Martin.
T. Martin. Won the whole thing.
Plugged right in.
Won the entire thing.
Barely even missed the guy.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Huh? Let's keep the college football talk rolling.
What is that smell? Oh, that's right. Grab bag.
Colorado threw a Hail Mary. Shedeur Sanders, son of Deion Sanders, threw a Hail Mary to tie it. They would go on to beat Baylor in overtime. Monster game for Travis Hunter, who should be the number one pick. He's my number one pick in next year's draft. I'm going to play him both ways. I might even stick him on special teams.
He's the Shohei Ohtani of football.
I might never take that guy off the field. He had like 130 yards receiving, but also had a huge forced fumble to seal the win. Where do you put Colorado now? Frisky?
Yeah. Oh, that's Frisky.
They're frisky.
They're 3-1.
I still don't think they're that good, though.
They're 3-1. They lost to Nebraska. I watched a lot of Nebraska on Friday night.
Yeah.
Nebraska lost to Illinois.
Votes to be ranked.
Are they getting them?
They
I
got
don't
votes?
I think they got a single vote to be ranked.
Yeah, see, now it's turned a little bit. Now people are a little too anti-Colorado.
Yeah.
That game was fantastic, though. I didn't watch the full game, but the way it timed out on Saturday, there were some good games late.
Yeah, like there was.
The Michigan game was great. I had a little action on Oklahoma and Tennessee, so I was following that.
Right,
I tuned into BC. I watched the end of the BC game.
Yep.
And I went down the hall. I'm getting ready to fall asleep, and I didn't even realize Colorado was locked in a tight game. I turned it on right in time for that Hail Mary. I watched overtime. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
So good little win there for Deion.
So Deion beat North Dakota State week one. Then they lost to Matt Rule's Nebraska.
On the road, though.
Road game.
Yeah,
road
yeah,
tilt.
Yeah.
Then they won a rivalry game with Colorado State.
Nice.
A lot of bad blood there. Rams and Buffs.
That wasn't even close.
Then they beat Baylor in overtime. Now next up is Central Florida on the road.
Frisky team.
Kansas State.
Ooh, they've been.
They just lost, I think.
Lost
did they
to
get
BYU.
Smoked? They just got pumped by BYU.
Scratch whatever I was about to say.
Did you see that punt return touchdown? That was probably the play of the weekend.
I ran around for like 200 yards.
The kid for BYU, like the ball bounced and it was rolling down. I'll do a little quick play by play. Bounced, rolled around, scooped it up like at his own goal line, and then just like ran around everybody.
Nice.
Like band was on the field. It was insane.
Like a Dante Hall return.
They play number 10 Utah later in the year, number 20 Oklahoma State. The Big 12 is not great, so it's not like the SEC or the Big 10 where you play a top 10 team every week. So Colorado, like, are they going to win more than they lose?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 4-1 team last
yes,
year.
Yes, I was wondering, how much for the grab bag?
It's free. The grab bag's free. Tune in every day
what
at
about,
this time.
What about an extended grab bag?
Freer.
Still free.
Still
wow.
free.
Nice.
The Boston Red Sox are red hot right now. They just took a day-night doubleheader over the Minnesota Twins. That huge series we had circled against the Minnesota Twins. They win the series.
Nice.
They played Friday. They lost, though, in extras. It's just a mess of a game. Saturday gets rained out. Sunday they play two. They win them both, 8-1 and 9-3. With six games to go, your Boston Red Sox are 78-78.
Not great.
Will they have a winning record at the end of the year?
I'm going to say no. It's nice they got these two from Minnesota. It was nice Cora actually like showed a pulse and got ejected and kind of looked like he cared.
Because
I feel like he hasn't cared for like months.
No, he cared.
Cassis had a 3-home-run game. They won the late game yesterday. I still don't think they're going to finish
season
500.
Back on?
No, it is not.
Okay.
It is not.
It's off.
Gotham won't be safe until there's grab bag for all.
Three with the Blue Jays starting tonight in the penultimate series for the Red Sox. Then they are home to the Tampa Bay Rays. Tonight you will have Tanner Houck on the mound. 7:07 first pitch right here on WEEI.
Are we still in play for last? No, not really. They have to really fall apart the last week of the year with these two divisional games to go all the way to last place. But they could finish behind Tampa. They're dead even with
it's
Tampa right
possible.
Now. Yeah.
They were behind Tampa on Saturday.
Yeah.
They haven't officially been eliminated from wild card contention.
How's that possible?
Oh, they can win out.
They're four games out right now. There's a few teams ahead of them. And did you know? Because
nope.
of their
no, I did not.
Because of their doubleheader sweep of the Twins, Minnesota out of the playoffs right now.
Oh yeah, Detroit's in.
Detroit
right?
is yeah. in. The Detroit Tigers, Undertaker gift, sitting up. Here come the Tigers.
It started against the Red Sox, I
yeah.
think.
They
were like all of a sudden they like caught fire.
Tarik Skubal, all of a sudden. I mean, he was looked like a great pitcher on a bad team, and now you got your team in the playoffs.
Why I tell you, that's the finest grab bag this town has ever seen.
Chicago White Sox have tied the 1962 New York Mets for the most losses since the year 1900. They are now 36-120 with six games to go.
You were telling me their social media has been having some fun?
Yeah, they've been pretty good. The White Sox Twitter account, when all the Twitter accounts follow Red Sox or whatever, they'll do like final scores, and they'll be like final colon, and they'll be like, you know, White Sox, whatever, 3-2 loss. This time, the most recent one was score can be found on the MLB app. It's like,
well,
just
good.
Like ignoring it. It is a good cross
good
promotion.
Synergy. Yeah, yeah exactly. No. Promote the MLB app. I mean, I think
like
they were looking out, I think.
Yeah, Saturday was like they scored more runs than we did.
Yeah, nice. There's one of those. Yeah,
nice.
36-120. They have three with the Angels and then through Detroit. So Detroit's getting into the playoffs.
Detroit's looking good.
That series
looking real nice.
Sitting there.
Bad news for you, Minnesota.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, which one of you guys ordered the grab bag?
That'd be me. The Connecticut Sun defeated Caitlin Clark in the Indiana Fever in game one of their best of three WNBA playoff series. The big story is Caitlin Clark got like a fingernail to the eyeball.
Mm.
Looked pretty gruesome. And No foul called.
What do you think of? Yeah, she's gotten a bit of a rough whistle. I'll acknowledge that throughout her rookie year, and she's certainly
getting
roughed
shoved around. Yeah.
Yeah, at various points. That she may have more coming, but the not getting a good whistle, we'll see. The whole idea of a three game playoff. What do you think of that? Or best of three, rather.
They do that in the playoffs for baseball now, right?
Isn't
that a three game?
Yeah, is that what it is again now? So the early rounds are three. See, yeah. It shows you.
Come on, Jones. I don't like sports.
No, how long since the Red Sox have been in the playoffs? Yeah, exactly. Wow. I don't even know the format anymore. So it's three early on in the MLB playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know
that
if
that doesn't quite feel like enough.
I don't like three in basketball.
I'd rather have a one-off. I'd rather just have a one and done. Yeah,
Then Caitlin Clark would already be done.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Sorry. Scratch cornea, you're done.
Yeah, no, I would say best of five probably like they used to do in the NBA. Remember first round series back in my day?
Yeah.
Best of five.
But I'm saying,
when Dikembe Mutombo beat Rain Man in the glove, that was a five-game series.
Right, but would you rather have a one-off or a best of three? I'd rather have a one-off.
Yeah. But would I rather, for a playoff series in basketball, a one or a five? Give me the five.
Oh, well, yeah. If I could get all the way to five.
But did you watch all that game?
No.
You didn't watch all that game?
I didn't watch hardly any of it.
I'll get it, honey. Must be grab bag.
AP college football top four remain the same. Texas, Alabama. I'm sorry. Let me do that over again. AP top four remain the same. Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama. Tennessee moves up to 5. But how about this? Early in the season, still in September, Georgia-Alabama this Saturday night.
Good one.
A great one.
I feel like now is about the time you start getting good conference matchup. Last weekend, I thought I had better conference games than normal. But
there's a couple.
The first few weeks of college football season, you get a lot of dud matchups. I feel like now you start getting into conference and you start getting better and better ones. But that does feel early for Georgia and Bama.
Let me check the spread.
Where
on
is
this.
It? You said it's at Georgia?
It is at Alabama.
Well, let me guess.
Well, guess that spread. Guess them spreads.
Georgia by 3.
Georgia by 1.5.
Wow, okay. There you go.
It's almost a pick 'em, folks. You know what? I like Georgia over Alabama most years. I think I'm taking Alabama.
Is the year for Bama?
Big. Did you see that Georgia-Kentucky game? It looks sloppy.
Yeah, I was on the Kentucky side in that one. So yeah, that was nice. I took some points. I didn't money line it.
I think Alabama smokes them.
Interesting.
That's why.
You like that Jalen Milrow?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right. I was on the other side of Alabama and Wisconsin. I had the points in Wisconsin. That didn't work out well. Alabama looked good in that one.
Something to think about.
Did Wisconsin's quarterback get hurt?
He did. Like a first drive of the game. I was like, oh, his bet's dead. Yeah.
Dude, I was watching that Michigan game this weekend.
Great game.
That quarterback.
Oh, the quarterback can't play. Oh, he can't play.
That offense
he's the
is
second string. They benched Warren.
No, I know. They benched that kid before this guy who played a little bit in the first 2 weeks, and they started him. I bet Southern Cal, and I'm like, score!
Yeah.
Like, these guys won't?
Yeah, they definitely
like,
can't.
That was frustrating.
You know his name?
OG?
Back!
Is it OG?
I think it's Orgy. His last name is Orgy.
I think I'm pretty sure that's what it is, yeah.
Like the band. They used to.
Yeah.
They were at Ozfest.
Yeah,
Blue Monday.
Yeah. There you go.
Their whole first album was excellent.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know the song. I know the song.
Stitches? You ever heard Stitches?
I have not.
Stitches is a good song.
Shawn Mendes song.
No, Orgy.
Oh. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Moving right along here. Yeah, there's a lot of top 25 matchups next week, but we'll have more throughout the week because we talk a lot of college football on this program. All right, Monday Night Football doubleheader.
Yeah.
Not really a doubleheader as much as there are two games on pretty much at the same time.
Staggered header.
7:30 and 8:15. So first you're going to have Jaguars and Bills. And then in the late game, the one everybody has circled, 8:15 kickoff, Washington Commanders versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Wow. Why do we have this one circled? A couple reasons. One,
we know.
Me and Billy Bengals have Cincinnati in the Survivor Pool.
Oh, I forgot about that. Survivor Pool 2.0.
We both need them to win.
Yeah.
But then Zach Moss in our Bozo Touchdown Parlay. For those of you that bet $10 on the Bozo Touchdown Parlay, you could win $1,200 if Zach Moss falls in the end zone. Or you could choose the safer option and cash out
for about
$550.
You could be a wuss like Cash Out Keith. And already, you've already made some money and you have nothing riding on tonight and you can't win the $1,200.
You really feel that good about Zach Moss?
No, I don't.
Zach Moss moved from -125 to -110.
The boy.
Oh no!
They're like the books found out about this bet.
They're like, you can have
them. The books were like, oh no, -110.
Here's what you have to think about.
Not good. Watch out.
Zach Moss
has -130 on Friday.
In two games this year, he has 21 carries. So he's averaging 10 carries a game.
What's the stat we need?
Jones picked him. That's the stat that maybe you can consider.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, they are playing against Washington.
Singleton
score.
Devin Singletary just ran all over Washington.
But are you willing to sacrifice $550 for Zach Moss?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you, we got this tweet earlier in the show at Jones WEEI at Keefe21. You said earlier you could buy a nice PS5.
Yeah.
Maybe
you get a little leftover for a game.
Yeah. Or maybe you could buy two PS5s if you win the bet. Oh
my God, I didn't even think of that.
In your face.
Two PS5s, put them right next to each other.
Exactly.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
That's a good argument.
In your face.
No, that's well played.
So how about that?
And here comes the grab bag. Grab bag.
Just real quick.
Please.
T's and P's to my timeline if Zach Moss doesn't score tonight. That's not going to be.
We need a Zach Moss touchdown.
That's not going to be thrilling.
For those that did not cash out, I'm desperately rooting for a Zach Moss touchdown.
The Bozo touchdown, the parlay needs it.
I'm
saying like for the feature, not just the specific
no
bet. I'm saying like to get some real street cred going forward.
Correct.
We won people a grand plus $1,200. That's a real reason to tune in for the Bozo Touchdown Parlay.
All you had to sacrifice was one ham.
If I screw it up tonight, it really undercuts the whole thing.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't
grab bag.
Double Monday Night Football game, also a double dork. We'll be Davey and I at 8:45 on the hashtag Dork Podcast YouTube channel. Back-to-back episodes, we are going to review the first two episodes of Agatha All Along. That is the latest MCU Disney Plus series.
I've been getting a lot of ads for that.
Anywhere. If you're watching ESPN, Hulu, it is going to be on. They're promoting it. Not a bad start. We'll dig into that. And then also The Penguin, the Batman spinoff starring Colin Farrell that is on Max. They debuted last Thursday for some reason, even though it's going to be a Sunday show going forward. But so we're going to do back-to-back episodes on those.
Okay, double door.
We're good, yeah. Right. You've been hit by
a smooth grab bag.
I think that's it. That's all the stuff we got.
A couple of texts here at 37937. Yeah, guys, this show is like Seinfeld meets Janine Garofalo.
That episode when Seinfeld did meet Janine Garofalo and they were the same person?
She was the female Jerry.
Yeah, they broke up at the exact same time. Is that what he's talking about?
So we're like... Exactly. Were that specific episode?
Or I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult or both.
I'm not sure. Hmm. This one, well, is this one a compliment or an insult, Keith?
Okay.
37937. I hate Jones.
Okay. Compliment for me so far.
But this new show is actually pretty good.
Compliment.
That's a compliment?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll take it as that. Yeah. Billy and Nick, we can take that as a compliment. You can deal with it on your own time.
Their hatred for you didn't outweigh the rest.
Yeah, no, hell no.
I got to rationalize that one somehow.
As long as you're tuned in, I could give a rat's ass what you think of Jones.
But okay, the show's actually pretty good, even though
love it.
This individual hates me.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like Seinfeld meets Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, I don't know. I get to clarify. I usually think... If it's like you can't tell good or bad, I assume bad. I assume it's like it's always laced with sarcasm or something. But that one I just can't figure out.
Yeah, you can't quite get a good read on. I feel like getting compared to Seinfeld.
It's good.
Somewhere in there.
Successful.
Yeah.
That's a big
grab bag.
I'll tell you the truth about cats and dogs. Not the worst thing I ever saw.
No.
No, it's not.
No.
Let's check in and see what WEEI Afternoons has coming up with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart. That's next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock. WEEI Afternoons takes over at that point. Andy Hart, Christian Arcand. Now, you guys are here today? Are you supposed to be here today? Because I know there was a bit of a snafu.
There was a bit of a mix-up with one Jermaine Wiggins.
There was a snafu
today.
With Wiggy today. He drove to Foxborough.
Yeah, I heard about that. And then I heard Gerard talk about it and was like, 99-1. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And
not
I
sure.
I never got a clarification as to what that meant.
Do you think Mayo really saw him, or you think Mayo just was aware of what they were talking about?
Oh, no, I think he saw him.
You think he actually saw him?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Pretty
early.
That was all like a
work?
A work?
A little bit, yeah.
I thought those guys got to sleep in.
You are really skeptical of everything.
Yeah, but I just mean,
gotta be in this day and age.
How often when you were going down there, are you crossing over with players and coaches? They park in an entirely separate area.
Yeah, but they're a totally different world now.
It's true.
Well, that's a good point. I haven't been down there this year. That's a good point. Yeah,
I don't know if you've heard, culture change, silos have been removed, murals have been painted. Yep. A little bit of a different world down there.
That's true.
Silos.
So you're not totally convinced is where you're supposed to be.
No, I was told. I texted Ken. I asked Boss Man. Because I think, so we will have Jacoby Brissett, obviously.
One or two more times, I think.
My guess?
Yeah, this week and next week.
This is it? Hey, Jacoby, sayonara.
Yeah, because I don't think they'll announce that May is playing against the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's true. You'll get next Monday.
We'll do a dead man walking interview.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We will talk to him Monday, but he will not start against the Dolphins. And I nailed the hell out of this one. I am taking a victory lap.
You absolutely did.
This is the game I have circled from, like, May.
Well, it hasn't happened yet. Before we do the full-on victory lap, should we wait until...
take a victory lap now. What the heck?
Wait a minute. Yeah. If it doesn't happen, I can't take a victory lap. If I take it now, I can enjoy a victory lap.
Yeah, jam in a victory lap where you can. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Plus, the 0-17 was ripped out of my hands.
Yeah, you're not getting that.
And they could go 1-16. And if so, I was kind of right.
Although they do play Tennessee and Jacksonville.
Right? I'm kind of right.
If they go 1-16, no. Do you win your bet?
I don't win my bet.
Well, then you didn't win.
Kind of right.
Hey, where do you stand on the Bozo Parlay? Do you cash out? So if you put down $10 on our Bozo Parlay, you could win $1,200 if Zach Moss scores a touchdown tonight.
Down to minus 110.
Or you could just opt out now and get $550.
I would take $550.
See, Jones has been making fun of me for
that. Burn in the hand. We're two in the bush. Literally there. It's half the money.
It's not bad.
That's a good chunk of money.
It feels like,
honey, you can go get something. I'm going to put something in my pocket.
A burn in the hand, by the way, is not worth the two in the bush.
Two in the bush.
Wouldn't you rather?
How big is the one in the hand?
I'd rather have the two in the bush.
If you're starving, you're out in the woods, and you're starving.
Like your guy Bear Grylls.
And one bird or might get the two that are way over there in that tree.
Yeah, I'm shooting for the two.
and you're dead.
It's like the Family Guy bit where he wins the boat, and he's like, what about door number two? He's like, could be a boat. So you're like, you have the boat. I think it's a mystery door, honey. It could be anything.
Could be a boat.
Even a boat.
Yeah. And
yeah, no, I'd take the money.
Twice as much.
Is not bad.
100%. Twice as much. How do you feel about Zach Moss scoring, though?
I like your chances.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
He does.
That would be pretty fun.
I sprinkled a little something on my guy, Khalil Shakir.
Oh, you like him?
Uh-huh. I do. And I think Josh Allen likes him. I think he's going to develop into what I thought he was a couple years ago, a little later in his career. So, yeah, got a little something on him tonight.
Okay. But the Pats do play.
Why is there a doubleheader? Can you guys explain this?
Oh,
we were just talking about off air.
I can't figure it out.
Is there a reason?
I called the league. No,
I don't think you did.
Got nothing back.
I can't imagine it's good for ratings to have games staggered. So I don't think it's like a ratings
I can
thing.
Only watch one. And there's no red zone, right?
No,
they should make him work.
When they overlap,
he should do the...
Hanson has to work Monday night.
One's on ESPN, one's on ABC.
Yeah, but I only have one set of eyes.
But you don't have two TVs?
Brag.
Come on, Moneybags. Cash out that $550 to get the TV.
Maybe you let it ride. You get a nicer TV.
One's in the basement, one's upstairs. You know, what I could do is the phone thing.
Phone.
That's what I will probably do.
Yeah.
But why?
Well,
forever we've not had...
You guys were talking... What was your theory? Do you have a theory over there?
No, and I figured if they had one going at 10 o'clock...
Good
then
talk.
They would, well, yeah, I didn't know. I was asked why they were doing it, but yeah...
There's got to be a reason. It's
one
NFL.
Thing if you have one at 8 o'clock and then another one at 10 o'clock.
Right.
But they're an hour apart, so I have no idea what they're doing.
I don't really believe the NFL does things willy-nilly. There is... And generally the reason is a dollar sign, so you need to connect dollar sign... to staggered start Monday week 3 doubleheader. Somewhere in between there has to be
something. So the Monday Night Football doubleheader continues a schedule element that began last season after the NFL's latest media rights agreement increased the number of games airing on ABC and ESPN.
More inventory. That's what it is. So there's more games, so for the television package they pay more, even though I can't imagine...
They get less.
I imagine it cannibalizes your ratings.
But it'll still be the two highest rated things on TV tonight.
It's that's true. It's
the freaking owners play Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah, that's why.
Like they get the players to, you won't have to hit one day and we'll take $10 million. And the players are like, okay, that sounds fair. And then they do it to the TV networks.
You guys are playing every Wednesday
We'll
now.
Give you like, two games on Monday.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, but we don't make more money because people can't watch both.
But that's what it is.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I guess they can. Do they count when I watch on my phone, do they count that for their advertising?
Nah, you probably need like a Nielsen box or something.
Yeah, you know, ratings are flawed. I don't buy those.
I've heard
right,
that.
Right, Arcand?
I've heard that's true, yeah.
I've heard the same.
We don't buy those.
What do you guys have coming up? You got a Brissett? What else?
Jones? Not you.
John Jones.
We should get that Caleb Jones on there.
He
should be the starting left tackle, we think.
We got to ask John Jones, is Christian Gonzalez a top five corner like everybody tries to promote him as, or the 117th best corner, which Pro Football Focus great.
He did not want to touch that question today, I noticed.
No, he didn't. No,
in fairness,
par for the course for that guy, but yeah, he wasn't real interested.
Like all those other questions he really elaborates on, right?
Yeah, he really engages.
Would shut up. Have you not found his thing? You know how like everybody has a thing?
He told us he was watching stuff on Netflix.
It's safe to say we haven't found it.
He said he was watching stuff on Netflix. So you know me. I was like, what were you watching? He goes, whatever was hot.
Jesus.
Gonzo is a man of few words.
Every Monday with
his own coach talking about him. I think he said that again today. I think he said that in his press conference again today. We should have like a series of Mayo drops about how little Gonzalez.
You think it's genuine? Because I thought Stephon Gilmore, it was legit. That's who he was. He whispered. He didn't say much. Is this a thing? Like, is this his genuine personality, or is this a thing that he's constructed?
Maybe just like an on-air thing.
Defense mechanism.
In front of the cameras.
Seems pretty genuine.
Yeah. That's
it. Method actor. He's doing a hell of a job.
Let me tell you, these Patriots Mondays, it seems very,
it's like
very
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Just
how many questions do you come in with? You got to be ready to fire
35.
Away, like, 10 each.
Yeah, we're at least in double digits each. Yeah. Well, okay. Stay tuned. WEEI Afternoons. You got QB1, Jacoby Brissett, and Jonathan Jones. I'm with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart. Stay tuned for it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 here on WEEI.